everybody. Good morning. Is everybody there?
Yay!
My name's Bryony, and I'm on the staff team here, and I'm just going to share just a 10-minute thought to kind of take us into our week today. And all summer we're doing this theme of We Love Church, and Mick kicked off this little series last week talking about God being with us. And I don't know if any of you can remember the three things. I'm not going to test you. I've had a few sleeps since then that Mick got us to remember. But they were that God is real, God is Jesus, and God is with us. Does that ring bells? Is it coming back to you? God is real, God is Jesus, and God is with us. And this morning, we're going to be carrying on. And today, we're looking, as Dave said earlier, at We Love Church because it's personal. Okay, so hands up if you've been to Argos before. Argos, come on. Yeah, quite a lot of you. So recently I went to Argos with my children. And when you go with children, you kind of see Argos and realize how weird it is as a shop. And so these are the steps that I had to take in order just to buy one item at Argos. So we went in, and if you want to go traditional, you look at the big catalogue, which you'll remember from your childhood circling, if you're kind of my age, for Christmas, the massive catalogue. But if that's not for you, which it might not be, because every page is laminated and it weighs a ton, and it's like a workout to turn the pages, find what you want. So if the Argos catalogue isn't for you, you can look on the iPad and you search for your item and you check that it's in stock. You then select it, and you think, this is the point I get to pay. Oh, no, no. This is the point you create a password. So you make your password, whatever it is, and then you're told to go to the next point. So you go and find the payment point, which you then put in your password, and your item appears, and then you can pay for it. And at this point, you think, great, I'm getting closer to getting my item. No, no, no. You are then given a small receipt, which tells you what your collection point is. So then you walk over to the collection point, where a big screen tells you what number you are, and you wait. And then if the system works, somebody will appear, shout your number out, and give you your item. In our case, the system did not work, which I don't understand. It feels like there's a lot of steps there. But we were just sat waiting until somebody realized we'd been waiting longer than maybe we should, and then said, oh, what is it you wanted? Like, you could have asked me that when I walked in the shop, not when I'd gone through all these steps. And eventually, we got our barbecue chimney, and our barbecues have been much better for it, I would say. But eventually, we got our item after all these steps. Apparently, 29 million people go into Argos, so they can't all be wrong every year. But after visiting Argos, it got me thinking that to end up with what you want to buy in Argos, you need to know and complete the steps in the right order. I spoke to my friend who's an American, and she said that she walked in that shop and was totally confused. It made no sense to her, because you need to know the steps that it takes to get the item that you want. You can't go straight to the collection point and ask for what you want. And you can't go first to the payment point. You have to take each step in the right order. And it made me think that actually, quite often, we can approach our relationship with God like a trip to Argos. We can approach God like there's lots of hoops to jump through, that we need to do lots of things to enable us to be in a place to be in a relationship with Him. It's like we have our to-do list or our be good list, which needs ticking off before we're okay to ask anything of God. We need to try harder, be better, read our Bible more, pray a little bit more. And all these activities and all these attitudes need to be right before we feel worthy or good enough to enjoy a relationship with God. And you know what? It was no different in Jesus' day. There were so many rules about what it meant to be a good religious person. There were lots of things you needed to do before you could be right before God. And even then, actually, the only people who could get really close to God were the priests, because they were somehow more special and more right with God than anyone else. And it's into this context that Jesus speaks the words I'm just going to briefly look at this morning. In John 15, he says, "Live in me, make your home in me. Live in me, make your home in me." Jesus is saying these words to his closest friends on the night before he died. And he is talking about how they are loved and they are known and they're invited into a relationship with him. This is what he's been talking about before this passage. That by the act of God sending Jesus into the world, he was saying, you don't need to be distant anymore. You don't have to rely on a priest to intercede for you. You can have this no-holds-barred relationship with me. And previous to this verse, Jesus is describing himself as a vine, as a plant, and the disciples, which is us as well, as the branches, that we are to be connected to Jesus, that his actual life flows through us. When Jesus says, make your home in me, he's saying, turn your heart towards me. Find your center in me. Find your true north in me. He's saying, let's make this personal. Our relationship with God isn't supposed to be like my Argos experience of having to do things in the right order to get the prize of a close relationship with God. It's much more like a trip to Tesco or to IKEA. Like all God's good stuff are just piled high on the shelves and we get to take it off. The things that we want, the parts of the relationship with God that we are desperate for, we are invited into that right now. There's no prerequisites. We don't need to do anything to enable us to take those gifts off the shelf. We get to do it ourselves. It's personal. And if we want that personal, close relationship, if maybe you've never had it before, then today Jesus is saying, you're invited. You can have this relationship. And for each one of us that would count ourselves out, maybe we've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but we actually feel like there's just so many reasons, God, why you really don't want to spend time with me today. I'm just not doing the stuff I should be doing. I've let you down again. I've said something in anger to somebody that I really shouldn't, and why would you want to be with me? Well, Jesus says, no, make your home in me. You're invited, whether we've read the Bible that day or not, whether our life is totally sorted, Jesus is saying, make your home in me. And that's a great relief to someone who feels like they mess up a lot, that Jesus is always saying, your home is in me. And so like Mick did, I want to give us three simple truths from that passage this morning. And these are that God loves us, that God knows us, and that God invites us. Can you say those for me? God loves us, God knows us, and God invites us. That God loves us, that's why he sent Jesus to earth to die for us. It's because he is extravagant in his love for us. He also knows us. Jesus walked on this earth. He knows what it is to walk on this earth. But more than that, he actually knows me. He knows each one of us. He knows the bits that we try and hide from other people. He knows us entirely. And yet, God invites us. He invites us into relationship, into finding our home in him. But just finally, what does that I've just talked about have to do with church? I've just talked about it being personal, that God inviting us into relationship. But what does that have to do with church? Because a lot of people would say that actually a personal relationship with Jesus is why they don't need to go to church. Because it's about me and my relationship with Jesus. So why do I need church? Well, I wonder if I was to ask you, what do you remember of London 2012, the Olympics of London 2012? You just think, maybe you were there, maybe you watched it on the TV, but I wonder, what is it that you remember from London 2012? Well, I remember being very, very pregnant. I think this picture's of my back, but anyway. And I got a ride on the mobility bus. It was awesome. So I got to ride about on at the Olympic Park on a mobility bus, and Rich, my husband, had to jog after me. It was excellent. So that's one of my memories of London 2012. My other memory is that during the Paralympics, our daughter, Sophie Wells, was born, and the following day, Sophie Wells, the equestrian Paralympian, won a silver medal. And I remember Lucy Vaughan texting me when I was in the hospital saying, "Do you know that Sophie Wells has just won a medal?" And so those are my two memories of London 2012, the Olympics. But my experience of London 2012 isn't the full picture. If we asked everybody in this room to share your memories of that time, whether you were there or not, we would hear about so many things we never knew. We would be reminded about Super Saturday and remember all those details. We would hear about athletes that we never even saw or watched anything of. We would get a much bigger picture. In the same way, though our faith is personal, I know that I don't have the full picture. There is so much more to know. There are so many more things that I haven't walked through. When we gather as church, we are reminding ourselves that we are the people of God, that our lives are part of His story. That if we don't hear each other's stories, then we miss out on knowing God more fully and loving Him more. That's why at this church we will always talk about community, because it is so important to be reminded that we all need each other's story. Because if not, I arrogantly then assume that I know everything I need to about God. Actually, I don't. I know that there's people in this room who've experienced things that I haven't and know things of God that I don't. And I want to be part of a community that shares that. Because the Bible says that the enemy is beaten by Jesus' blood, by his death, and the word of our testimony. In other words, the darkness is pushed back when we share the stories of what God is doing. So yes, our faith is personal, as we've had on the screen, but it's not private. And it's always supposed to be shared. It's not a secret. So today, I want to remind us, and I want to remind myself, that God loves us, that God knows us, that He invites us, not only into a personal relationship with Him, but also into a relationship with one another, so that we can encourage each other as we share the stories of what God is doing and what He has done in our lives. So what I'd love you to do now is to take hold of your house, and I'm going to pray for us as we're holding it. And this, as we hold the house decoration that we've made, this is a reminder that we are inviting God into our lives and we are to be found in Him, that Jesus is saying to you today, make your home in me. As we look at that home that you've just drawn, we're reminded that that's the invitation that Jesus gives. So can I invite you to stand as you're holding that, and the band are going to come up and we're going to go straight into our final song of worship as I pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you love us, that you know us, and despite knowing every single bit of us, you invite us into a personal relationship. And Jesus, whether we're taking our first step towards you today, or whether we've been walking with you for years, Lord, we say now that we want to be found in you, that we want to put our hearts, our center, our true north, Lord, to be found in you. And Lord Jesus, that we want to be the kind of community that values each other's story. That as we share our stories in our cell groups, in our clusters, in church on Sunday, that it would push back the darkness, that it would encourage each other, and that we would have a faith that grows and grows because we are reminded that we are the people of God and we have a story that is worth telling. Amen.